Well, a story from the past. So back when I was living in Tacoma, Washington, I think it was around about probably early college years or something like that, a really good friend of mine called me one night and he says, "Hey, you never guess what happened." And so a friend of the family called their house and my friend's dad answered the phone. And the guy that called was a guy that liked to talk and talk and talk. He was a long talker. And so my friend said he walked into the room and saw his dad. Literally, he had fallen asleep on the desk. His head was on the desk, and the phone was facing up, and the person's voice was still coming out of the phone, and the guy was still talking, unaware that the person he was talking to was totally asleep at the desk. That's always good for your self-esteem when you hear something like that happening. There's within all of us a deep human need, and it goes to our core. And we respond in different ways. And it's asking us some questions to people around us. You know, do you see me? Do I matter to you? Am I important to you? These thoughts from within. So I was reading a devotional this past week, and it related to kind of the passage we're looking at today, and it referenced Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, particularly their two sons, they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain, for undealt with jealous reasons, actually goes and kills his brother Abel. God confronts Cain and says, "Where's your brother?" And the response from Cain is, "Am I my brother's keeper? You know, how should I know?" When really we're supposed to stop and say, "Well, yeah, we are our brother's keeper. We should have care and concern for our people in our lives." The gospel lesson for today: a woman had experienced some significant injustice, and her case is just not being listened to by the uncaring judge. It's just a very dismissive attitude on his part. "Go away, you're not important, I don't care about your case," is kind of the vibe that was given off. And again, it goes back to these questions that we have inside of us. But we, in a more deeper existential type of way, I guess we could almost say, you know, well, does God care? Does God care about me? Does he see me? Do I matter to him? Am I important to him? And we come to realize he's not like the unjust, uncaring judge. He's not like that. As a matter of fact, he sees me. He knows me. I'm important to him. He cares about what's going on in my life. And the God-breathed scripture throughout demonstrates that with story after story after story. God doesn't fall asleep on the phone with us. So I'm thinking about the passage that we're going to look at today in the Psalms. And I'm thinking about that, and the first thing that comes to my mind as I think about it is a blast from the past. There was a great movie from 1987. Maybe you remember this movie, RoboCop. And the greatest line ever: "This cop doesn't stop for donuts." And it was one of those really good movies back from the 80s and stuff like that. But that whole concept, "This cop doesn't need to stop for donuts." And then I started thinking, you know, in Psalm 121, the psalm that we're going to look at for today, my thought also is, after going through it, you know what? But God doesn't take coffee breaks either. Unless, of course, like in the cartoon here, that Jesus meets you to have coffee with you to talk about life. That is a legitimate cartoon strip, Coffee with Jesus. Some really good stuff comes out of the dialogue, kind of, if you were to have a conversation with Jesus. A little side point, but anyway. The point being, God doesn't need to have a coffee break. I want us to look at the psalm for the day. It wasn't read, but it is the psalm for the day. I've printed for you, we printed it for you in the bulletin. If you want to pull that out, I'll be referring to that. And when we read through it, we'll see it really truly is almost one of the clearest statements of promise that answers that question that go to the source and root of the questions that we surfaced. Because we as believers can have doubts. We can wonder in our own lives about, do you see me? Do I matter to you? Am I important to you? I'm just going to read this out loud while you read it silently and make some comments, but just follow with me. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. It's a beautiful psalm. It's almost like the writer himself sees himself on a pilgrimage. He's on a journey through life, and as he reflects on that, he knows that he's being watched over and protected, provided for. There's great assurance in his words and is how he has come to know who God is in his life. We're going to break it up into a few different parts here. When you look at just the first two verses, one thing stands out. He says, I am looking up to the heavens. And, you know, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then he'll actually say, well, who is this Lord? Well, he's actually the maker of those, you know, the heavens and the earth. And that's where it comes from. And it's a very personal thing. He says, where's my help come from? And again, my help comes from God. He is the one who has done this. He is the all-powerful one. He is the creator of all things. And then the other thing is we notice as we go through here is how many words are repeated over and over and over. The word watches, 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 watch, watch, over and over. The word your and you and you and your and your and you and you and your and your over and over and over, just making this personal. God is with you. He obviously knows what's going on. He cares about you. He's watching over you. We would look at those first few verses and say, yeah, God is our helper. Another word for helper there we could be is the one who keeps us. He's a keeper. Remember that thing? You know, what Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? What an attitude. But God truly is our keeper. He's the one who has taken the responsibility. He says, I'm going to care for, I'm going to take responsibility over. And I'm going to show you as a loving shepherd, as a one who loves you and knows you and cares for you, I'll take responsibility. I'll be your shepherd. I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll watch over you, I will protect you. It's not like I just made the people, you know, they can take care of it themselves attitude. Just the flip opposite for God. He's going to be diligent and watch over. And again, that word watch and watches over and over again, where he's always aware of what's going on. Never drowsy, never inattentive, always fixed in what's happening. And not only is he the keeper over us, as he comes to us in the Good Shepherd, but also he's our shade at our right, you know, the right, your right hand. One who gives relief. You think of the context of when this was written and being out in the desert, out in the place where you're trying to take care of your sheep or wherever you're at, and just the severity of the elements and the sun in particular. I'll be your place of sanctuary. I'll be a place of relief for you. And even during the different things that come up that maybe in the day or the nighttime where you may find yourself anxious or worried or concerned, I'm going to shield you from that, knowing that I am watching over you and caring for you. So these things will not harm you by day or by night. I'll watch over you. I'll provide for you. And the other thing is just the concept of constancy. Never leave, never forsake. Again, over and over and over, that comes out. Wherever you are, as it says in verse 8, wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever time of the day it may be, you can know that I'm there. On a number of different occasions, we see in Scripture where people were given a task, a ministry, some role that God called them to do, and he always reassured them, you're not going alone. I will be with you. Don't worry. You're not going alone. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I was with this person, I will be with you. I will always be with you. And the idea of its unfailing love. Those questions that go through our mind, you know, and you see it come out in people sometimes where they're just literally almost in their actions crying out, notice me, listen to me, pay attention to me. Do you know that I'm there? And what that does to a person if they wonder or doubt that from the people around them and that are closest to them in this world and in this life. But God wants us to never feel that way with him. And the God who watches over me, in a sense, he's not going in and punching in, you know, the time clock. All right, my time's over now. I'm going to go, you know, take a nap now, or I need to go to bed, I need to rest, and I'll pick it up again in the morning, hopefully you're all right overnight, type of thing. And he doesn't need a coffee break. Unless it's during your coffee time, you open your Bible, and you come to him, and you pray, and you seek him in his word, he's with you. He's with you. See, in the gospel lesson for today, Jesus contrasts this lazy, uncaring judge with God, the true judge. Because Satan wants to do anything he can, in a sense, to bring us down, cause us to think that God doesn't care, that he's uninterested in our lives or whatever's going on. He's unconcerned. And that plays into our minds. We think, well, you know, God's not concerned about this. He's got other bigger things to deal with than what's going on in my own life. But Jesus is definitely concerned about our spiritual life. As a matter of fact, in the way he told that story, it's almost like he's coming and telling the people around him that day, you know, why aren't you asking me for help? Why aren't you coming to me in prayer? Because your wrong thoughts are saying you're not expressing faith. Because we can say, well, again, you know, God's got bigger things to do, or he probably doesn't care about me, or it seems like I'm too alone in this situation, whatever it may be right now. Or maybe it's just too much self-reliance. We think, I can do this myself. I don't need God's help. It's not that big of a thing. Lack of faith. But sometimes, like in the Old Testament lesson for today, there may be some wrestling involved. A tenacity that says, God, I want what you have for me. And the persistence of grabbing a hold of it or not letting go, tight grip I'm going to be persistent in praying. I'm going to be persistent in claiming this promise that you have for me and not letting go. In the New Testament lesson, the attitude, I'm going to hold on to this word. Because in this word, it is God-breathed. And it is promises because it's from the mouth of God. It's God-breathed. It's useful for all things I need for life. God shows himself to be faithful. He came to show us that he's faithful. And what's the greatest way he came to show us that he's faithful, that he's a person of his word, that he has something for us? It's when he sent his son Jesus into this world. He sent his son to earth. And then through the son being obedient to the plan that his father had for him, was willing enough to all the way go to the cross to allow himself to die in our place so that we could have and know forgiveness and receive a gift of salvation and eternal life. It was all done for us. So we come away from this and say, yeah, we are under the watchful eye of our Heavenly Father. And he's shown it to us in many ways of who he is. And then when we read that, then we can hear those words that Jesus tells us. You know, come to me, you who are weary or burdened or anxious or weighed down by something in life. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Give it to me. Share that with me. And I will offer in exchange, again, the promise of my presence, the promise that I care about you, that I love you, that I'm alongside with you in this. Draw strength from me, because that's who he is. So we never, ever, ever have to ask those questions. Does he see me? Does he know me? Does he understand me? Does he care? Yeah, he does. And his beautiful words remind us of that each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Over and over and over, you've done things. You find ways of reminding us or showing us that you care, that you know, that you watch, that you observe. And we thank you for that promise. Thank you that even today, as we gather here at the altar today, that you show us you care by giving us yourself. And as we receive bread and wine, we're reminded again of your love for us and our forgiveness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness. And today, too, we continue to pray for the family of Joy Adams. May they find rest in the promises of your word. God, we pray for Frank, who's in the hospital. We just pray that you would give him strength and wisdom to those doing the tests. And we just pray for a healing in his life. And just comfort Jeff at this time as well. Thank you for your promised presence in our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now take our offering.